Now, let's pray again, shall we? Father, as we come to study your word, to see what you have got to say to us in that and what you have to reveal to us about yourself in that, we pray that we would see and hear clearly. Open up our eyes wide and our ears wide to listen for what it is you've got to say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pop quiz. What is the link between this German composer, most famous for his opera Hansel and Gretel, main belt asteroid 9913, and this man, Arnold George Dorsey? Any ideas? Very good. Well done. Engelbert Humperdinck, better known as, but he gave himself that extraordinary name after the German composer, and main belt asteroid 9913, Humperdinck, is named after the German as well. It's a funny thing. It's one thing to be saddled with a weird name like that by your parents. I've always wondered why someone would actually choose to be known as Engelbert Humperdinck. Extraordinary name. Shakespeare famously asked, "What's in a name?" And for most people, actually, the answer is quite a lot. Names are important, although they actually didn't seem to be very important for Shakespeare. He spelt his own name several different ways in his lifetime. All those are the different spellings he put in his own signature. Go figure. But most of us appreciate it if people get our name right. And in ancient times, names were even more important. Names weren't just a label. They actually told you something about the person whose name it was. They said something about the person's character, a person's nature and qualities were tied up with their name. And that's why so many people get given new names in the Bible. Obviously, there's Abraham, who became Abraham, and Simon, who became Peter. But there are loads of other instances where a person's name is changed, either by God or by other people, to signify some important and significant change about that person. Names are important. And there is one person whose name is more important than all the others, so important, in fact, that he is given literally hundreds of different names and titles in the Bible. No prizes for guessing that I'm talking about God. And that's why, if you've been paying attention, most of our songs this morning have been about God's name, or have included different names for God. One person reckoned that there are over 900 names and titles for God in the Bible. Things like the Holy One, or the Beginning and the End, or the Lion of Judah. Now, we're not going to look at hundreds of different names this morning. We are going to look at just nine of them. And these nine names are linked. They're sometimes called the compound names of God because they all start with the same word, and they're built on that. They all start with the word Yahweh or Jehovah, the Lord. If you look at your Bibles, whenever you see the word the Lord in capitals like that, it's often in little capitals, it's actually this word. We tend to pronounce it Yahweh, but it's spelt in the Hebrew like that. And sometimes the Bible has the Lord in normal letters, and that just means what it would mean in English. But if you see the Lord in capitals like that, it's the promised name of God. In Jewish tradition, actually that name is too holy to even speak. It's the name that God revealed to Moses in Exodus 3. If you don't know the story, Moses has an encounter with God at a burning bush. This is where God tells him to go to Pharaoh to tell him to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And in verse 13 of Exodus 3, Moses says this. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. And so that word in the Hebrew where God says, I am, is that word. Sometimes we struggle with how to pronounce that, as I say, because written Hebrew doesn't actually have any vowels, which makes it really difficult sometimes. And in particular, this word. Some scholars talk about Yahweh or Yahweh. In the past, it's been pronounced Jehovah. You can see that just about Jehovah, which actually isn't a very accurate way of saying it. But that word is used for God in the Bible more than anything else. And sometimes it's put together with other words. And so they've become known, as I say, as the compound names or the Jehovah names of God. And those are the words we're going to be looking at today, the names we're going to be looking at today. I'm not even going to say very much about each one. Mostly I'm going to let the Bible speak for itself on this. We'll take them in the order that they appear in the Bible, apart from one which I'll leave to last. But the point of this is not just an academic exercise of thinking, oh, that's interesting, God's called lots of different names. The point of this is that these names reveal something about our God. And let me encourage you as we go through this to think, well, what does that mean for me? What does that mean in my life, in my experience of God? Maybe it's an element of God, a characteristic of God that I've not really experienced, that I need to look at more. Maybe it's something that I see all the time in God and I'm profoundly grateful for. Use these to think about how we can understand God just a tiny bit more. So the first one is in Genesis. If you've got your Bibles, feel free to follow through with me today, because we're going to look at several different passages. The first one is in Genesis 22. This is the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, who, as I say, had his own name changed by God from Abram to Abraham, was, when he was 100 years old, given a son. Had almost given up waiting on God to give him a son, but finally God gave him a son, Isaac, his dear son, his only son. And then God said, I want you to go and offer Isaac as a sacrifice to me. And so we're halfway through that story in Genesis 22 and from verse 6. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a finger on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God, because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. So there's our first name for God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. That's one that we're often quite familiar with, because we need the Lord to provide for us. Next one is in Exodus chapter 15. We're on to Moses. Moses has led the Israelites out into the desert. They've escaped from Egypt, but they're in the desert, not an easy place. And Exodus 15 from verse 22 says this: "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter." That's why the place is called Marah. "So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What are we to drink?' Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed them a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, 'If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.'" Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my healer. Just two chapters on, comes to our third one, Exodus 17 from verse 8. Obviously, we're still with the Israelites in the desert. Exodus 17, verse 8. "The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands.' So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on each side, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven.' Moses built an altar and called it, 'The Lord is my banner.'" Some Bibles will say, "The Lord is my victory." He said, "Because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." So Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my victory, or the Lord, my banner. Much shorter one next. Still with the Israelites in Egypt, in the desert. Exodus 31. Exodus 31 from verse 12. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy.'" And that's our next one. Jehovah Mekadishkem, the Lord that sanctifies, the Lord that makes you holy. On to the book of Judges and the story of Gideon. Judges 6, the Israelites have been having a really rough time with lots of other people around the land, and in particular, they're getting a real bashing from the Midianites. And that's happening because they've, as they did all the time, they've turned away from the Lord. And so they've started crying out to God, and God hears their cry. And this is what happens in Judges 6 from verse 11. I could just read you the verse where God tells him the name, but these stories are great. It's worth reading these. "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, my lord,' Gideon replied, 'but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. And Shalom in Hebrew means far more than just the English word peace. It's such an incredibly rich word. It's peace in every possible sense. The Lord my peace. That's the short ones now. On to Psalm 18. Many descriptions of God in the Psalms, but here's one of these Jehovah compound words. Psalm 18 from the beginning. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And so the name in that is Jehovah Mephalti, the Lord my deliverer. On to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23. He begins, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. And this whole passage is in the context of bad leadership of God's people. Leaders who have taken the people astray, away from the Lord. And so he goes on in verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. Another prophet, Ezekiel, right at the end of the book of Ezekiel in chapter 48, his very last vision ends with a description of the holy city. A lot of parallels between this and the description in Revelation in the New Testament. And the whole thing ends with this verse in Ezekiel 48, verse 35. The name of the city from that time on will be the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord ever present. And finally, the one I missed out until last, and if you're eagle-eyed and you've looked at the notice sheets and seen that the main reading today is Psalm 23. And you thought, no, he's got that wrong. That's a hanger-on from last week. Well, it's not. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Now, here is the reason why I kept Jehovah Rohi for last, and why we're still actually looking at Psalm 23 this week as well as last week. Let's just rearrange those names slightly, as if by magic. And with those names in that new order, let's have another quick look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That's Jehovah Rohi. I shall not be in want, because Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, provides. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, because he is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. He restores my soul. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because he is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jehovah Shammah is the Lord ever present. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, because Jehovah Mephalti, the Lord, is my deliverer. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my victory. You anoint my head with oil, because he is Jehovah Mekadishkem, the Lord that sanctifies. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a glorious shepherd we have. That psalm was written by David, and the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. So we could do worse than to learn to pray as he did. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer now. We'll just take this slowly. And I invite you to let your heart and your mind work through these as we pray. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. You are the good shepherd that gives up his life for his sheep. You look after me and treat me as if I have value. When I was lost, you searched for me and found me. Jehovah Rohi, I am the Lord, your shepherd. You are my source and my provider. I seek your kingdom and its righteousness, and you meet all my needs according to the riches of your glory in Christ Jesus. I will have what I need. Jehovah Jireh, I am the Lord, your provider. You lead me by the still waters. I have perfect peace in my spirit because I have faith that you are willing to lead me. Jehovah Shalom, I am the Lord, your peace, your wholeness. You restore my spiritual connection to you. You renew my mind and make me whole. You save my soul. My relationship with you is life-giving and healing. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord, your healer. You lead me in the path of righteousness for the sake of your name. I know that I have the righteousness of Christ because I have asked your Holy Spirit to come and live in my heart. I place myself under your authority. Jehovah Tzidkenu, I am the Lord, your righteousness. I know you will never leave me or forsake me. In the darkest, lowest, loneliest times in my life, as well as on the mountaintop, in the exciting times, the times of rejoicing, you are with me. Jehovah Shammah, I am the Lord who is here for you. Even when I am in danger, I can count on you. I do not have to fear evil because I know you. You give me authority over our enemy. You make even the bad things that come into my life work out for good. You discipline me when I fail to discipline myself. Jehovah Mephalti, I am the Lord, your deliverer. I know that you have me on earth for a purpose, and you will enable me to accomplish it. Even when the world works against me, I have faith in you. No enemy can prevent me from achieving your purpose for me. Jehovah Nisi, I am the Lord, your banner of victory. You've placed your Holy Spirit within me, and he teaches me how to be more like your Son, Jesus. You adopted me as his brother or sister and made me a prince under his authority. Jehovah Mekadishkem, I am the Lord, your salvation. You've given me more than I need, and assurance that I will live in your kingdom forever. Jehovah Rohi, I am the Lord your shepherd. Thank you for making it so good to be alive. Let it be so. Amen.